My entitled friend demands proof that my fiancé is actually sick, claiming that he is actually faking it, and that we just set up a donation page to assist my fiancé just so we would have more money for our wedding. And I'm honestly so disgusted by my friend's behavior, and I seriously don't know what to do. Here's what happened. So I am engaged to my fiancé James. James is not his real name. He recently had surgery on his leg and hip, but there were complications, and he has been sick and weak ever since. We try not to ask for help, but this has put a big financial strain on us, to the point where we've spent our wedding savings on his recovery. We are fine with this, because if we need to have a courthouse wedding, we're completely cool with it. We just want him to be healthy, but we did set up a temporary donation page to help with some of the expenses. A friend of mine by the name of Carla donated $10 about a month ago, and I reached out to her to thank her. Last week, we posted an update, not asking for more money, but just to let people know that he has had another setback, and the doctors are creating an all-new treatment plan just for him. Carla commented publicly and said the following: I'm beginning to question if he has actually been sick this long, or if y'all are just trying to get more money for your wedding. Who takes this long to recover from surgery, especially when you're an athlete? I responded to her by saying the following: I am very offended and appalled that you would accuse us of faking anything. Maybe you're just having a bad day or a moment of bad judgment, but how shamefully low of you. She replied back by saying, I want my donation back unless you can show proof that he's sick. Is he in a hospital bed or sitting in a doctor's office? Do you have anything to prove that he's actually sick? I sent her $10 back to get her off of our backs, but I also sent her a video with James's approval, all of the proof that she had asked for. One of the concerns James has had is that he will get severely nauseous if he eats protein, which is what he's supposed to be doing. This also happens if he overexerts himself. So I sent her a video of him dry heaving into a bag in the middle of physical therapy. Now, one of his doctors asked us to record his physical therapy so they can see the progression of him not feeling well to hopefully making some adjustments. So I didn't take this video just to send it to Carla, but to me it seemed like solid proof since she was asking for it. She said to me, that is disgusting. I don't want to see that. This is triggering me so bad. I hope you're happy with yourself. I feel like I've been completely traumatized now. So I just said back to her, okay, well now you have 10 more dollars to process that trauma in therapy. And I've honestly never dealt with anyone so entitled in my life. Yeah, your friend Carla is hardly even a friend. Like, seriously, what is wrong with her? Who in their right mind would question someone in the hospital? Look, if you don't think he's being legit, don't send your money over to them. Just keep it for yourself and mind your own business. But for her to literally go out there and be like, wow, I don't think you're actually sick, you're probably faking it, while also demanding evidence that they're actually sick in the first place, all of that, in my opinion, is so toxic. That seriously is so disgusting, and I can't imagine being that awful of a person. It's also incredibly ironic that once you send this video over to Carla, she tries to pretend like she's all triggered and she can't handle what she's seeing. But in reality, she's the one that wanted to see visual proof that, yeah, he's not doing well. Like, also, think about it for a second. James and the original poster are getting married. Do you really think they would risk their entire reputation just to get a couple $100 from people around them? Like, I can't imagine they would ruin their lives like that over maybe, what, a couple $1,000 at most? That just doesn't seem worth it, in my opinion. So yeah, this Carla lady is a complete jerk. She is absolutely not a good friend, and I think you know exactly who you're not going to invite once the wedding between you and James finally comes around. If you like Am I the Jerk, you're probably going to love Am I the Genius. Check it out, link down below in the description. Also, go to amithejerk.com/submit if you would like to submit your own stories. My husband claims that I tripped over a suitcase on purpose just to guilt trip him for not moving it sooner, and now I'm being called a jerk, as he claims that I did that on purpose just to get back at him. And at this point, I seriously don't know what to do. Here's what happened. So I'm a 32-year-old female, and I'm currently 8 months pregnant with our first child, and I am trying to do everything I can to make sure the house is ready. This started with a little spring cleaning jobs, but has developed into a full-blown deep clean of literally everything. One of the things I have decluttered recently was mine and my husband's closet. I donated everything that we don't wear, and have folded and put away everything that we won't need during winter. Some of this clothing has gone into a suitcase, which is currently sitting on our bedroom floor because it is too heavy for me to lift and even put away. I have asked my husband to please help me more than once, but he is always either too tired after finishing work, or he says that it slips his mind. All in all, the suitcase is currently looking like a permanent installation in our bedroom. He has at least shifted it out of the main walkway in the interim. Well, last night I woke up to go to the bathroom and ended up tripping over the suitcase as I fumbled in the dark. I do obviously know where it is after it's been there for so long, but I was half asleep, and I was trying to avoid our sleeping puppy. Now, while the fall wasn't bad, I did wake up my husband in the process. My husband was initially quite worried, especially since our midwife told us that any fall needed a trip to the hospital. But once he realized that it was because of the suitcase, he then became quite upset. He said to me that there's no way I could have tripped over the suitcase unintentionally, as he had supposedly moved it out of the walkway, and I just tripped over it to try and prove a point. He said that he could not believe I would behave so passive-aggressively and put our baby's life at risk rather than just asking him again. He also went on to say that forgetting to move the case is not a crime. The more I tried to explain that I was trying to avoid waking him up and tripping over the dog, the more he said that these were just convenient excuses to make him look lazy and unhelpful around the house. He said I was punishing him for not getting to the suitcase sooner, and that if anything, I should have had a plan to deal with it from the beginning, as it was me who wanted to sort out the closet in the first place. My husband was fired up again after I mentioned to the midwife this morning that I had tripped over a suitcase, and he said I could have just told her that I had fallen over the dog or over my shoelaces or something like that. He said to me that he made his feelings clear during the night when we had our discussion, and I was rubbing salt in the wounds now. I spoke to my mom about it after we got back from the midwife because I wanted to vent to her, and she surprisingly took his side and said I was letting my emotions get the best of me. My mom said I should have been more graceful bringing it up in front of the midwife, although I will say that I never said anything about asking him to move it. She said that the situation has probably made my husband feel quite bad about himself, which is why this has turned into such big drama. So am I the jerk in this situation? What should I do? I don't think you're the jerk at all. I think your mom and your husband are being complete idiots, and they are missing so many key facts here. For starters, your husband easily could have moved it. You asked him multiple times if he could just get it out of the way. You can't lift it because you're what, 8 months pregnant? Like seriously, you should not be moving anything like that, especially if it's heavy, if you're that far into your pregnancy. Like that would be irresponsible and it could damage you and the baby. So the fact that your husband was so willing to put it off and then freak out on you when you tripped over the stupid suitcase is proof enough to me that he not only feels guilty, but he's now trying to like shift that blame on you somehow. Like seriously, it was dark and you were trying to avoid the dog. It's not like you tripped over it on purpose while you were pregnant. That would be an insane thing to do, and I just don't think you would be willing to do that. Now, when it comes to your mother, I think she's completely wrong as well. You're not rubbing salt in the wound. That's such a stupid thing to say. You are literally just trying to talk to the midwife and make sure that you are okay and the baby's okay. You didn't tell the midwife how you fell down. You just fell down by tripping over a suitcase. If your husband wants to get bent out of shape and really upset because he didn't move it, and by effect, making him the reason why you tripped over in the first place, then that's honestly on him. But for your mom as well as your husband to basically be shifting the blame in your direction, that in my opinion is so unacceptable. So no, I don't think you're the jerk here. I think your husband was being very irresponsible, and he clearly feels guilty about not moving that suitcase. My new girlfriend slept with someone at Burning Man after 1 month of us dating, and now I'm kind of at a loss, and I seriously don't know what to do. Okay, so I first want to start off by saying that our relationship ramped up very quickly, and I have had some difficulties with relationships in my 30s. For context, I'm 39 and my girlfriend is 36. But this one felt different from the start. We connected deeply and felt a mutual adoration for one another and shared vision for the future. We committed to each other after a few weeks of dating and then went away on separate trips for 2 weeks, a couple of weeks after committing, and 5 weeks since meeting up. And so I went to a meditation retreat and she went to Burning Man. Before leaving, she reassured me deeply that nothing would happen and she was crazy about me and so excited about our future. She said she was using her time there to deepen our relationship. We exchanged notes to open one day while we were apart. And yes, it's cute, I know. I was on a silent meditation retreat, so I was in a bit of a quarantine, dreaming of seeing her again soon. I was definitely falling in love. Anyway, when we reunited to embark on our post-Burning Man vacation together, she immediately confessed to having slept with someone at Burning Man. And this is someone from her camp who had a girlfriend. She said that she'd never need to see or talk to that person again, and that she's over it, and it was not emotionally significant, and really wants to work things through. Her apology was clumsy as she navigated the shame, but she did apologize. I had such a clear vision for our future, a future I've been dreaming about for such a long time. We've decided to try and work through it, and we've had our ups and downs. Now, I am falling in love with her, but I also can't stop being bummed out about what happened. In the end, I know we moved way too fast. It just felt like something special that warranted moving at the speed it wanted to, and she reassured me so intensely that I felt a bit bit baited. Anyways, I'm just trying to sort out that if we keep spending time together, I can finally let this go. It was very early and she slept with one guy one time, and she admitted immediately. I do trust she wouldn't do it again. I mean, our connection has deepened even further. We shouldn't have committed so quickly, but we did. I wish we took things more slowly, but we didn't. So now I'm trying to look at this as some kind of fresh start for us, but 6 weeks later and I'm still not over it. If I won't be able to let it go, then it would be best to let the relationship go, as hard as that might be. I would honestly love some outside perspective, because I'm really wondering if this will pass with time and we can build something great. Or is this a situation where it might always be tainted? It does seem logically forgivable to me, but my emotions and ruminations are lagging. And honestly, at this point, I seriously don't know what to do. I am really surprised that you stuck with her after she confessed that she cheated. And that's what she did. She cheated. She didn't just sleep with another guy. She straight up cheated on you. And it's astonishing to me that throughout this entire post, you didn't say that she cheated on you a single time, because that's exactly what she did. And I think it's important to note that if you do want to move forward, what she did is completely unacceptable. She knew what she was doing and she did that willingly, despite the fact that you two were very clearly in a relationship. And I know that if I was in your shoes, I would have turned my back on her in an instant. There is no way I would waste my time with someone like that, especially this early in the relationship. Because in my opinion, if she can do it once, she absolutely can do it again. And sure, you clearly feel differently. You've been able to develop some kind of relationship between the two of you, and honestly, good for you. But I know for a fact I would be out of there so fast, it's not even funny. And even worse, she cheated on you with somebody who already had a girlfriend. Like, think about that for a second. That is so unbelievably sketchy. So in my opinion, if you want to try and make this work, then go for it. But I know that if that was me in that situation, there's absolutely no question about it. I would have walked out of that relationship and never looked back. Am I the jerk for refusing to attend a wedding in another state with my 8-year-old baby? Because right now I'm being guilt-tripped by everybody in my extended family. And at this point, I seriously don't know what to do. Here's what happened. So I'm a 35-year-old female and I've been having a few tricky discussions with my husband and his family over a wedding that's happening later this year. I don't want to go, but people are telling me I should just deal with it and figure out a way. Let me give you some background. The groom in question is my husband's cousin. They're not that close. They only see each other once every year or so, at large family events, and never keep in touch in between. The wedding is in another state, and we would need to catch a plane there as it is too far for us to drive. We received an invitation, and we heard through the grapevine that we could bring our baby. My gut instinct told me to double check with the bride. I didn't want to commit the faux pas of bringing a baby to a wedding if it was not what the bride wanted. And sure enough, when we emailed her, she replied and said very clearly, "Sorry, this is a baby-free wedding." And of course, that's fine. It's completely her choice. This is her special day after all. So we replied and told them that my husband would attend alone as I would have to stay at home with the baby. My baby is only 8 months old and still breastfeeding, so I can't just leave him back home so easily. Not long after we sent the RSVP about me not coming, several people contacted us, including the bride and groom, trying to persuade us to go. Apparently now they've changed their minds and the baby could now come to the wedding since they wanted me there as well. I told my husband I didn't want to go. Even though the bride had done a 180 on the no baby rule, I still felt he was too young to attend and it would be too difficult to go interstate. I would probably spend half, if not most, of the wedding absent due to nursing the baby, as well as the baby making noises and babbling during the ceremony. And of course, it has a bedtime at 7:30. In my opinion, this is too much hassle for a short amount of family time. But my husband is upset and really wants to make the effort, and I'm starting to feel like I'm being unreasonable for putting my foot down and saying that this is way too hard. So am I the jerk in this situation? What should I do? No, I don't think you're the jerk here. Listen, everybody's adults here. People can make their own decisions for whatever they want. And if you don't want to go to this stupid wedding, then in my opinion, I would just not go. I would say, look, I'm not going to go. I've got a baby. It's going to be too much. And if they still don't get it, then just let them not get it. You should not be guilt-tripped into showing up to this stupid wedding just to then have to spend all this time and energy just to take care of your 8-month-old child, who, by the way, is probably going to be high maintenance. Like, they're traveling on an airplane. They're going to be in a foreign environment. There's a lot of things that could and probably will go wrong with the baby coming along. And honestly, dealing with that on top of going to this wedding and making an appearance, all of that just sounds completely exhausting. So no, I don't think you're the jerk for wanting to stay at home. And I seriously think the simple solution here is to simply say no.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app. Today.
An entitled jerk demands that I keep my mouth shut and just keep serving beer, claiming that he doesn't need my help and that he is paid to do the thinking and that I'm just paid to serve the beer. So I decide to maliciously comply and watch as he slowly starts to unravel at the seams. And I've never been more satisfied to watch karma work its magic in my life. Here's what happened. So this happened about 10 years ago now. I'd been working in catering and hospitality, mostly managing pubs, for about 10 years at this stage. The catering company I worked for had come up short-staffed for a smallish function and festival that they were putting on, probably a maximum of 200 people at a venue they controlled. I was in a different division but asked to help out on the bar, as well as the bump in and bump out. This was easy enough, and the music was looking pretty good, so I agreed. It was in the middle of the spring. The weather had not yet been really warm, so we were expecting decent numbers but nothing special. Bringing in the bar was easy enough. The venue was massive and easily able to accommodate the truck and all the things we would need. Having a single mobile bar with just one tap tree was probably on the light side, but I figured the venue manager knew what he was doing. So I introduced myself to him and I got to work. I unloaded and brought all the gear and beverages in and made a couple of attempts to discuss how we would set up the service area. But each time was shut down with progressively more aggressive language until he finally told me, "Look, I've run dozens of functions in this venue. I think I know how to set it up. We really only ask for a bartender." So I thought to myself, okay, no problem, buddy. I didn't mention to him that it had been me that picked up the truck from the warehouse, collected the bar and 10 kegs from our supplier, as well as the other beverage package, and delivered it to him, or that I was the only one able to bump it all out at the end of the evening. So I just agreed with whatever he said and set things up for how he wanted. So the weather ended up being a beautiful day, about 27 degrees Celsius or 80 degrees Fahrenheit. There was a light breeze and the turnout was about 400, which was much much better than expected. Pretty quickly, it turned out that we were struggling to keep up with bar service, so I suggested that rather than having a traditional service, we should have one person on the till, one person constantly pouring beers, and one person filling up other drinks, stuff like wine or soft drinks or stuff like that. But once again, I was snapped at by the now very clearly stressed out venue supervisor. He just said to me, "You just keep serving and let me do the thinking." So I thought to myself, okay, I've officially had enough. Customers were getting frustrated at the slow service, and this peanut was too proud to accept advice from someone far more experienced. And then the keg blew. I was about to change it when this genius stepped in and said he would take care of it. I checked that he knew what he was doing and was assured he's done this 100 times, and so I decided to back off and leave him to it. So I did just that. I watched him not uncouple the gas line and go straight for the beer lock. Happily though, he had his face right in the correct spot, so as soon as he cracked the lock, it copped a huge spray in his face of nice warm beer foam. And this went all through his hair and all through his glasses, wet all the way down the front of his shirt as well. It was glorious to behold, and the first 30 people in line thought so as well, because they witnessed some of his antics. And after that, I didn't hear much from him for the rest of the day. He asked me to change the kegs when needed and pretty much just stayed away from the service area. We eventually streamlined things as well, and although it didn't end up a success as far as customer satisfaction goes, it was thankfully not the disaster that I thought would be brewing. Yeah, that venue guy clearly thought he had everything figured out. Firstly, this guy just did not know what he was doing. He was clearly in over his head and thought, wow, I can handle this by myself. I don't need you to do anything. I just need a bartender. Like, okay, buddy, I've been doing this for what, 10 years now? Like, the fact that he couldn't put his pride to the side and say, okay, let me get some help, as well as take some kind of suggestion from this other person, shows to me that this guy very clearly should not have been a venue manager. So good for the original poster for letting this train wreck happen. This guy absolutely had it coming for himself, and any problems this guy ran into throughout the entirety of this night is quite literally his own fault. This next one came from the Am I the Jerk subreddit. Check the links in the description if you would like to submit your own story. Am I the jerk for not giving my ex-girlfriend exactly what she wants after she decided to cheat on me? Here's what happened. My girlfriend and I have 4 years moved into an apartment with a close friend of mine. When we first moved in, I wanted to replace my old mattress with something new. My girlfriend has chronic pain, and so I thought I'd let her pick something out that would feel comfortable for her to lay on. I offered to buy a $3,000 mattress that's one of those purple mattresses, and this would also include a frame, but she felt she should pay half of it since we both would be using it. Not wanting to argue, I just went with it and used the extra money I had to give us a nice TV as well as a PlayStation 5. To be fair, the PlayStation 5 was mostly for me, but she'd be free to use it whenever she wanted. Fast forward a little bit later, and she has been cheating on me with my roommate, and eventually she leaves me for him, which brings up the issue of what to do with the mattress. Despite everything that's happened, we're both trying to be civil while I look for a place to move out. The solution that she's wanting is for me to give her the mattress, and she'll go in half to help me get a mattress. I don't have much cash saved up, so that option really sucks. I'd prefer to just keep the mattress and pay her the $1,500 that I owe her instead, which was the initial deal when we broke up. My reasoning is that I was initially going to buy it to begin with. I was the one who wanted a new one to begin with. And also, I'm not the one that cheated. Her reason is that she picked it out specifically to help with her back pain. And now I understand that she offered to go half in on a mattress with me, but again, I don't have that same amount of money saved up to use for something like this at the moment. So that doesn't feel fair to me that I'm downgrading mattresses all because she's the one that cheated on me. So am I the jerk in this situation? What should I do? I do not think you're the jerk at all. Your girlfriend absolutely cheated on you. She is a piece of garbage and she absolutely knows it. She's walking out on your relationship to go with your roommate. I mean, come on, that is such an awful situation to be stuck in. So honestly, in my opinion, I think your plan is the better one. Just pay her what you owe for the mattress and keep the mattress for yourself. And you know what? If she doesn't like it, well then guess what? She probably shouldn't have cheated. So honestly, I don't think you're the jerk here, and your ex is just gonna have to deal with it. Thanks for watching. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications so you never miss a video. To finish listening to all the stories, check out the playlist at the top of the description. And if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, check out Am I the Genius. Everything will be linked in the description.